Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on the Hill, we're so grateful that you've tuned in, and as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. God is so good, and he keeps giving us wonderful gifts like the one that we have tonight. We have got Donald Simmons on with us, and he is a pro-life activist, and we're so grateful to have you on, Don. How are you doing?
Doing fine, Diana. How are y'all?
Oh, pretty good. I think we're hopefully going to be joined by Kaylin Jones. I don't know if he'll make it. But anyway, I'm so grateful that you're on because, you know, this is another one of those topics that is really strikes the heart of each of us. I think it should. But anyway, if you don't mind, Don, would you start us off in the right foundation with giving this conversation to God in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight and to discuss some things that pertain to you. And your what you've tried to teach us throughout time is to love one another as you have loved us. And we are falling so far short of that. We're picking and choosing who we try to send our love to, and our unborn and our old and different colors of skin and male and female. It's all getting so extremely skewed. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would bring this nation back to its knees and back to you, and let us begin to worship you and give praise to you like we should have all this time. And that's the only thing that you've ever asked us for, is to love you and acknowledge you and believe in you and trust in you. And it's so simple, and yet we fail it so much. But God, we pray, God, that tonight something will be said that will help somebody in their further walk with you and to help save a child somewhere that deserves the right in our nation to be born. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Don. And, you know, it's really the topic that you cover for us, Don, is, you know, and I'm so glad you come on every month. You know, we get to talk about so many different topics a month, but I'm glad that we have you on for this, length of time, not just a little sound bite, you know, because this is really one of those things that we have to be reminded about, that, hey, this issue is still here. You know, we have not won this issue, and we need to really be vigilant. But if you don't mind, Don, would you please introduce yourself to the audience and tell them about the book series?
My name is Donald Simmons, and I wrote The Unborn Guardian and The Unborn Sacrifice. And it's a fiction novel set in the tribulation period of the Bible, much like the Left Behind series, but has a pro-life twist to it. And it's, you know, it kind of derived out of me learning what abortion really is and seeing it for what it is the first time, which was at the age of 35. For so long, I've been a Christian all my life, but had just kind of overlooked the fact that this was a baby, or this is a baby, and in all cases, it's life. And I just kind of shied away from it. And when I learned exactly what it was, saw all the procedures, saw all of the pictures, and just knew for myself, this is just a fancy word for murder. I promised God that I would write a story that would not only glorify Him, but also bring light to this Holocaust. And that's how I'm here today.
Well, indeed, it is a Holocaust. And Don, you've heard us talk about, I guess, the latest in the agenda field, which is, you know, to really, as one has said, it's steal a generation. And you do that by teaching them things that are anti-Americans, what I'd say, you know, anti-foundation. And it's going to teach the children to really consider God's ways as foreign and that man's ways are the best ways. And you know, I just, the older I get, the more I'm just so grateful to God for the scriptures, because I have no wisdom. I know that. You know, I look at my life and I see how many times I fall in the past and still fall. And I thank God for, you know, His word, because now that I'm older, I really just see how magnificent God is to give us a manual, to give us a guidebook. And you know, we're going to be raising children that will not have a problem with getting rid of lives. That's pretty much, you know, one of the planners of Common Core is the people that you talk a lot about, Planned Parenthood. And so really it's a fight that I know everybody is very concerned with, the life issue, and we should be, because, you know, really the enemy hasn't changed. He's just made his tactics a little bit different in that now he is seen as an educator. Can you believe that? Planned Parenthood is seen as an educator. I wish I had my flyer here. They've got a quote. They want to be known. They want to be trusted as a sex expert. I'll find my flyer and I'll read it to you. But anyway, what are your thoughts on that, Don?
Well, you know, the people that were closest to Hitler thought the things that he was doing was godly, so to speak, in a worldly way, in a kingdomship, in a lordship. And you know, it's when you put the fox in charge of the hen house, you're gonna start missing some chickens, and that's about what's going on. We've got a Muslim leader in our White House, and he is bent and determined to take the stigma of the of a Christian nation out of the world for the United States, where he does not want us to be viewed as a Christian nation, and which sets us apart really from most all the countries in the world, because we are the leader in evangelism. This country has spread the word, the gospel, throughout the world. I think just as God intended, and the Bible indicates that there's a time coming that there's going to be a great falling away. I've always heard it preached that there'll be a great revival right before the end, but that's not what I'm seeing in the scriptures I read. And I'm seeing the falling away. And the people that are falling in behind Obama's agenda, and it's not only to, you know, destroy children, which he is doing, I mean, at a rapid pace and with such great skill. I mean, he's good at this. He's funneling so much money to Planned Parenthood to keep them going and spread their abortion meals throughout the world, even, that it's almost sickening. As a matter of fact, it is sickening to me. But then he pushes the homosexual agenda, and it, you know, it's the tearing down of the family. And if you can, you know, stop the growth of the family and tear the family apart, then you've basically torn down the very fabric that made America what it is now. And it just seems to me to be his agenda. He just absolutely cares nothing for America as it was.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, Don, one of the things I love about you is you have studied your history so well, and I think you have taken great pains to really study Hitler and his antics. And, you've shared with us the 180, the movie. You know, for those that's not seen that documentary, would you mind sharing and talking about and telling people where they can see it? Because that is such a powerful documentary.
It is. It really opened my eyes a lot to what Hitler's was all about. I mean, I had read the history books and things like that, but, you know, actually seeing a video that was dedicated to focusing in on how he did it and how he deceived his own people. And because the first 250,000 people he killed were his own. They were handicapped. You know, they were retarded. They were or mentally challenged. Whatever you could indicate of a person that was not what we would call normal, they were marked for death. So he began there and began to branch out. Prisoners of war, he got those next. And then soon... he began to bring the Jews in, and he started locally, and they experimented with different ways of killing them, and finally they settled on the method of Zircon B and carbon monoxide poisoning, and they built barracks, army outposts and things, and they turned them into prison camps. And what they would do is they would force these countries to give up their Jews, and they would come in on trains, and within 2 hours they were decided whether they were going to live or die, whether they were going to be slaves in the camp or whether they were going on to the gas chamber. And, of course, if you couldn't work or too old to work or too young to work, you immediately went to the gas chambers. And they had perfected it so well they would kill 3,000 or so at one sitting. I mean, it was unbelievable. And the crematoriums began to run 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, nonstop. The first estimates were around 6 million Jews that they killed, but according to the new estimates and the families and things that were affected by this in Europe, it was probably closer to 12 million. Well, the documentary that I'm talking about is called Auschwitz Inside the Nazi State, and it's the most famous of all the crematoriums in Europe. And it alone, the number of Jews that were killed there was just unbelievable. And it's really the camp that all the other camps were based upon. And they were patterned and built off of that. But, you know, To believe, for people even living locally to the camps, they were brought in to tour after it was all the war was over with, and it had things had settled down, and you could actually tour Auschwitz without any trouble. The local people came there and were brought in smiling. They videoed them as they walked in. They were smiling. They were, you know, not really knowing all that had gone on. And when they seen the ovens and they seen the chambers where they killed them at, and they seen where they were forced to sleep and the conditions they were forced to sleep in, the ones that did live for some time, they left in horror. I mean, it was almost as, you know, as if they had been, had lived through the horror with them, because it was so unbelievable. And, you know, people, if you want to see how cruel someone can be in this world, then you study Hitler. Hitler will show you exactly how cruel a human being can be, especially one in leadership. And you do not want to put a madman in leadership. And that's what they did.
And, Don, they were, I mean, really, when you look at them, they were very intellectual. You know,
sure.
They were at the pinnacle of really what you would call as the elitist, intellectual elitist of that country. And, you know, this is, I think, what happens when pride gets in the way, that you think you have no need of God. And I think that's what's so dangerous, you know, about what we're seeing in public education, and now it's going to be forced even to private education, because the standards are going to be all alike. And this is what the founders warned about. You know, they did not want a nationalized education. They wanted the parents, the first schools, were because of what they called the old Luther Satan Act. And Miss Barbara, I wish she was here, but really, that was so that the children would learn how to read. They wanted the children to learn how to read the scriptures. You know, and it reminds me of, you know, what happened in Europe. You know, the priests, you know, could read the scriptures. You know, they could read it, but the masses couldn't read it. They had to rely on what was being told to them. So I could see how the founders, you know, coming from Europe and all that darkness, would see such a need, such a priority, you know, for their children to be able to read for themselves, because they knew how powerful truth is. They knew the power of God's word, and they came to this nation across the dark seas that really nobody knew much about. You know, here's this new pioneering spirit within them, but I think it was because they wanted the truth to be upheld, and they wanted the children to live in truth. So, you know, they formed this law, Old Luther Satan Act, so that the children would learn how to read and compare what was being taught, and what the laws being made, with what was in the scriptures. And I think, you know, we've come a long way, haven't we, Don? I mean, it's now, if it's anything of God, take it out. That is now the mentality of the leadership. And it's so dangerous, because I think we're falling on the same lines as that Hitler mentality. I hate to say that, because we're hearing horrible things about Common Core. And one of the first set of children that it's really affecting are those with disabilities. We had one mother that we interviewed. I don't know if you've heard the Jackie Verga story. She had twins. One had a little learning disability, the other one did not. But the one that did not have a learning disability was even having problem with these standards. They're just, I would liken it to, you know, when you cut wood, as my husband had told me, you have to cut with a grain. If you cut against the grain, you have splinters. And I think that's, you know, that's what they've done with teaching the children. They're going against the grain. So it's very hard for these children. As a matter of fact, it's very hurtful to the children. And her child was having a breakdown, the one that had a learning disability. He had already gotten some help and was doing so well, you know, participating, raising his hands, taking home things to put on the refrigerator. She was so proud of his work, and he was so proud with her. And then here comes his Common Core, and those things on the refrigerator were gone. No longer was the child bringing things home. And he finally had a breakdown at school, threw his shoes, threw his lunchbox, threw his jacket across, and started to run out of the school he used to love. That mother is now homeschooling that child. That is now a happy child. But, you know, we do need a wake-up call, because that kind of mentality, that presumptuous that, you know, I have no need of God and his ways, is really very dangerous. Because man, as she says, you know, were it not for the Holy Spirit holding us back, there's no telling how much evil would be in this world. And I'm guessing that the little bit of, you know, of really where we're headed right now, you're seeing, you know, you see the dog-eat-dog mentality, and you're seeing it in a lot more of the inner cities, you know, and you're seeing more of that with, you know, there's not the Holy Spirit in a lot of these that's being raised up because they've taken that fear or awe of God and his ways away from these children.
Yes, they have. And I think I remember someone saying a long time ago that after World War II, the Germans that still believed in Hitler and that there was a supreme race and that it should rule the world and et cetera, you know, they theorized that to bring America down, you would have to tear up the family. And since the stopping of the prayer in schools and the redefining of marriage and I have to believe that our president is more Muslim than he is Christian. So you have a common agenda in what would be Germany's outlook and Muslim outlook, and it seems to have united. And I have heard more than once about the Communist Party being affiliated with the Democratic Party. And Barack Obama, his book, the books that he has out, My Father's Dreams, I think, and I forget what the name of the other one is, but at any rate, he professes to be more communist than anything. He identifies with the Communist Party. And makes no bones about that. And that's the thing that amazes me, that the country was so ready to prove that we're not a racist country, that we could put a black man in office. You know, that's all well and good. I don't care what color the man is, if he's plaid, as long as he is doing the staying with the line of thought that our founding fathers had, and continuing to have this nation to be strong. Well, according to history, we are well overdue to be destroyed. Most republics like us have not existed for more than 200 years. We're beyond our age limit, and you know, and that's just according to history. Well, then I look at the Bible and I see the prophecies and the things that are prophesied to come, and I see, you know, communism and Islam uniting to bring America down, as well as atheism. Atheism kind of started a lot of it, whether there was, you know, a communist or a Muslim behind it in the beginning or not, they were still able to remove prayer from schools. You know, and there's so much talk now about, you know, taking In God We Trust off our money and different things, but Barack Obama has really done more to tear this country down in a spiritual aspect than any president I can ever remember reading about in history. And that's so scary to me. And I've studied Islam, and I know that Islam is anti-Christ. Well, if a leader ever come along that ruled Islam, and like the Pope somewhat, I hate to say rules, but is the head of the Catholics, then you would have the Antichrist. So with the circumstances in the world, things are getting really heated right now and really advancing toward the prophecies that we read in, that are supposed to take place in Revelation and in Matthew and Timothy and Daniel, Ezekiel. They set this world stage, and we're here. I mean, it's there, and it's so obvious. It amazes me.
Well, Don, I think, you know, it's almost like everyone is groaning, a little baby fighting for life, you know. If it could scream, just like in a silent scream, we would hear it screaming. And now, you know, we see the little children. They're talking about Obama has a plan kind of from cradle to grave of overseeing these children, encouraging the more of the pre-Ks, you know, to be started in various states, well, really throughout all the states, you know. They want wraparound services. They don't want just the health care services for these children, but also want mental health services and no telling, you know, human resource services. You know, it's almost like, you know, they're going to have to inspect the child, the child's home, the child's parent, know all the data about that child before it even goes to school. I see the children groaning. We're hearing the stories already. New York is one of the states that has suffered the most because they were one of the first ones to really bear the brunt of it all the testing as well as the implementation at the same time. And when you see 1,539 principals rising up, you know something's wrong. But, of course, the media is bought out. We've got Bill Gates with all that money. I saw where it says the education industry is $100 billion yearly industry. So, you know, for him to invest $1 billion, that's nothing. You know, that's a wise investment so he'd consider on his part, as well as, hey, supposedly doing something really good for the world, right? But
that's wrong.
Children are groaning. And then you also have the family, you know, the breadwinner, the husband, the wife, you know, working two jobs, you know, sometimes two part-time jobs to make one full-time job with all the things that Obama has done to really decimate their, you know, their earnings. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, because we're hearing both parties groaning. And then you have the elderly, because they're seeing that this health care that's supposed to help more Americans is going to cost more, and then it's going to take away what benefits and choices that they actually had. So I don't think there's any age group, Don, that is left that's not really, I mean, you know, if you could see the earth grown, I think you could see every age group just groaning and really not having, you know, anybody to turn to, but really one person, and we know who that is. But it's almost like, you know, it's that time, isn't it, where a lot of people have got to be groaning and calling for help.
Absolutely. I know there's a lot of crying out. I know there's a lot of people that are you know, they don't know what's going on. And a lot of people, I heard somebody say today that they thought that our age, our lifetime, wouldn't see the coming of Christ and all the horrific things that are supposed to be soon to take place. But I disagree. It was 70 years between the time that Christ was born and Israel was destroyed. For its rejection of the Messiah. Well, it was 70 years ago that Israel was reborn. As a matter of fact, you could say that the 70 years actually plays out in 2018. Okay, so we have 5 years? 5 years until the 70 years is actually fulfilled. And with the things that are going on in the world, as I look around, I see too much prophecy on stage. I mean, it's just, you have Iran and Syria. Well, those are two countries that was prophesied to be in the end time scenario against Israel, Russia, China, Egypt. All these countries have basically said that if Israel goes to war with Syria or Iran or anybody like that, they're going to join in. And Barack Obama is giving the Muslim Brotherhood service to air missiles, F-22 fighters. I mean, you know, the list is in billions of dollars. He has sent to Egypt like $460 billion twice, and you know this. You're basically building them up to be able to attack Israel with everything that we've got, and you know, and of course the scripture lays out a scenario where the survival of Israel is basically a miracle, and that's what it would have to be. I mean, with all of these nations, Israel could single-handedly whip probably Egypt, Syria, and these smaller countries by itself without a problem. But to be bombarded by seven countries at one time with the size of China and Russia joining in as well, that would just be, you would think, sure defeat. Well, that sets up a scenario for the Antichrist to come along and, you know, and profess peace and sign a peace treaty. And I didn't know this, but until probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, but the European Common Market started the same year that Israel was reborn. And they won't allow Israel to join the European Common Market unless they sign a peace treaty with the Palestinians. So that's the catch. So, you know, I mean, you read the scriptures, and then you come and you look at the scenario that's being laid out now, and it should scare you to death.
And well, it should. And now for us, you know, we thank God that we do have the scriptures, so we know where we're going to be. But there's an awful lot, Don, and you know, when you see what's going on in the world, people are about their business of trying to make money, trying to provide for their family. I mean, here in our sleepy state, even with the issue of the children, we're finding that not even half of the parents know about it. So, you know, there's being blind to the truth is so easy to do because we are so busy. Apathetic also is another. And two, you know, you've got the enemy, the mainstream media, who's owned by, you know, the George Soros, the Bill Gates, you know, the liberals, that really do not want the truth to be shared. So, you know, how in the world this thing is going to be reached? You know, one of the things that you have pointed out in the past that I'm very grateful for is that there are more young people that are pro-life than were pro-abortion. And I think, you know, at the same time, I hear that there's more young people that supposedly okay with, you know, gay marriage. But I think the reason that there's more pro-life, Don, is because of people like you, because you have shared the truth, the ugly truth. And I think, you know, with the homosexual, the gay marriage, you know, unfortunately, you know, people are not seeing the truth. They're seeing, you know, in California, you know, they're forcing a promotion of the gays as, you know, the savior of their, you know, of so many good things. You know, they're in the history books as having done this, that, and this and that. And you know, to tell the truth, you know, they're very, very nice people. When you look and you talk to some of them, they're just the sweetest, nicest people. So, you know, how can you be mean to such sweet and nice people? But the thing that gets me is God's word is true. And to me, if my dearest friend was a homosexual, I'd want to share the truth because hell is forever, you know. And I think that's what's missing is we're not really sharing the truth. We're so nice, we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings and tell them that, you know, there's a hell. But that's the sad truth. And, you know, it's not just an overnight, you're going to spend a little bit of, you know, torture somewhere and you'll be fine by next week.
Right. Now this is going to be a permanent thing, never to change, and it so baffles me that somebody can miss the prophecies, because to me the prophecies is what validates the scriptures. If you could find nothing else in the Bible, just reading it, that you believe as an unbeliever picking it up and reading it, then the prophecies of it laying out the countries that would be involved in this end time scenario, and here they all are. I mean, listed every one of them, named and labeled distinctly. As a matter of fact, one of the prophecies that really blows my mind is the fact that in Revelation, I think it's 9:16, it talks about a 200 million man army that will cross a dried up Euphrates River to join in this attack on Israel. Well, number one, the Euphrates River has to dry up. Well, it's been drying up for the last 10 years because of drought and a dam that the Turkish people built. Called the Ataturk Dam. It was built in the early 90s, I think. And then you have a 200 million man army that is to the east. Now, what is the likelihood, the chance? I mean, if you could put these numbers in to statistical data and come up with how someone 2,000 years ago could pinpoint a time that all these countries would unify. The Euphrates River would be dried up, and a 200 million man army would be to the east, ready to attack Israel, and running a joint warfare scenarios with countries like Russia. Because China and Russia have been doing that for the last several years. So it should send a chill up your spine to read that, and then look at what's going on in our world.
It's wow.
Too obvious.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks for that. You know, that is very, what the word is really humbling, Don, but then that's the God that we serve. And, you know, I there was this book by Grant Jeffries, who's passed away now, and it's called The Signature of God, a very small book. But in it, it talked about the things like, you know, how the Black Plague was stopped. And it was really based on God's word. They followed Leviticus. You know, somebody followed Leviticus. And then it talked about, you know, the different fields, astronomy. It said, you know, there's a growing number of astronomers that are believers. Because what they're seeing out there is just, you know, making them know that there is a creator God out there. And the same thing with biologists. When they study the body, you know, then they see that, you know, there is order. You know, there is intellect. There is someone that, you know, this was just not an accident. We just did not evolve. And so, really, you know, there's so many, I mean, it's like to really believe that there's not a God, I think, takes a mountain of belief. And then, you know, when you hear the minds of the Einsteins, you know, yes, they're very intellectual, but at the same time, they knew enough to believe that, yeah, this could not have happened by an accident. You know, yes, they're very intellectual, but yet, they really, you know, they were smart to believe in God. They knew that this could not have been by chance. So for those that are listening that's thinking you've evolved and you're still a chance, how can we get them to see that? I think sometimes, Don, I think the Bible does talk about it too. It is really a choice.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I looked at, I just moved myself to a neutral spot once upon a time to decide for myself without allowing my surroundings. In other words, if you're raised up in, say, a country like Afghanistan or something, you're probably going to be Muslim or whatever the religion of that area is. Well, being raised up here in the United States, you know, in Christianity being a large part of the American way of life, I wanted to step aside and look at Christianity as equally as I did everything else, atheism, evolution, whatever. And I still come back to Christianity because it was the only thing that made sense. I look at a butterfly, and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, a butterfly, an evolutionist would tell me that this animal evolved, and I'm wondering, why is there beauty on the butterfly's back? Why, where did this perfect pattern come from? You know, where did this design come from? When you look at a bird, there's perfect beauty with these birds, an eagle. The feathers are colored just so-so. You know, there's no reason for evolution to produce anything beautiful at all. There's just not. Even if the animal could evolve, why is our eyeballs, you know, where it sit and sit in our head where they do? Why not at the end of our fingers? Why not at the end of our toes? I mean, because something ordered it there, you know, and it ordered it in a design, because we have two eyes that sit, you know, together. In our face, and I look at being heterosexual. I look at a female, and I say, well, you know, this woman is beautiful. Okay, well, why am I even thinking beautiful? I mean, if we are all evolved from evolution, it doesn't make sense. There's no reason for beauty in evolution, is what I'm getting at. And you know, and the same thing for a woman that might, you know, would look at a man and say, well, he's handsome. Well, why is he handsome? You know, why is he appealing to your eye? So, there's just no reason for evolution to happen. And I was in a debate once with an evolutionist, and I said something about, well, you know, he said we came from apes, and I was like, well, why are the apes still here? And he said, well, you say your words is that we come from dirt. Why is dirt still here? And I'm like, well, you know, your reason for evolution says that we evolved from apes, which means that everything evolved to a greater state. So the apes should have disappeared already. But dirt, according to the scriptures, man was only formed up out of the dirt, and that was only two people, and everybody else came from conception. So your reasoning does not compute, you know, at all, to put it in his terms. So, and of course, he had nothing else to say after that. He, you know, he had to walk off, and because he could not refute anything that I offered him. So.
Well, it's so sad, Don, because I think to myself, you know, that the Bible is really just a love letter from God. You know, he shows us how we can stray, how we have strayed. And then he shows us how he loves us enough to, you know, show us the way back to him and love you so much that, you know, I even give my son for you to die on the cross for your sins, for your choice of, you know, being wayward. You know, that's such a picture of a loving father. And you're a dad, Don, so you know what that's like. Isn't that just so amazing that God would allow us to see a little bit of how he feels? And as much as you love that child, you know, and we're just human beings, you know, oh my goodness, how much more can a creator God who is perfect, how much more must he love us? So with that in mind, you know, for the listeners that don't know God and think, well, you know, the God that we're talking about, or he may have thought of as God, is just, you know, a vengeful God or a, you know, just an awful God. He really doesn't realize the truth, which is the God that we serve is a loving God. But at the same time, just like you, Don, as a parent, you have to discipline your child because there are dangers out there. So, you know, and this is the thing, as we have seen, as God empowered you to see, you know, through that incident, we always ask you to tell that incident, but you saw the value of the unborn, where before you had not seen it. But God in his goodness allowed you to see that truth, and that incident of that one glimpse of truth has made a lifetime of a difference, Don. So if you don't mind, you know, for those that's not heard it before, let's share with them how you got started in this road, and then tell us,
you know, where we can get the book, and I'd like to hear too what's going on with hopefully the movie production. But anyway, tell us the story that really was, I think, the start of the new Don Simmons.
Well, I was 35 years old, and I was a chaperone to a youth retreat in North Carolina, a thing called Centrifuge, and me and some other chaperones carried about 60 kids up there for a week-long youth retreat. And even the chaperones got to pick out these classes that you could go to and learn. Well, I love prophecy, so naturally I signed up for it, and I signed up for a relations class. And then I was having problems with the third class because they gave you three. And abortion was on there, and I passed it over. And I couldn't find anything else, so I come back, and I saw it again, and I kind of pondered it a little bit, you know, and just kind of went on. Well, I almost just didn't select one at all. And finally I thought, well, you know, it's time for me to put an end to my speculation on what abortion is. I need to know why the Christian community is in uproar, and maybe at the same time I'll find out why the secular community is as well. So I signed up for it. Well, the day before we were supposed to leave, the class happened one time. And 5 minutes before that class was supposed to happen, I actually went to it. I actually decided to go to it. Because in a lot of ways, I was a little apprehensive about going and seeing. I was afraid they were going to show me some pictures that was going to make me sick or something, you know. I mean, a mutilated baby or whatnot. I mean, my mind was just going crazy on it. But I said, you know, if this is really happening, I need to go see. I need to see this for myself and judge it for myself. So I did. I went. And it was a small class. There was, you know, probably less than 10 people there. The instructor told all about the abortions, all the procedures. Well, that in itself rocked my world. But the whole time that he was talking, I kept noticing this one lady in the class, and she was crying the whole time. And she finally began to speak when he gave us an opportunity to. And she said that she worked in an abortion clinic, and her job was to dissect the late-term babies and to inventory the parts of the early-term babies so that they knew they got everything whenever they performed an abortion. So they left something behind that infection could set up and possibly kill the mother. So they didn't want to do that, so that was her job. So they had saline aborted a set of twins at 5 months. So she was getting her little tools ready, and she heard this something in the room with her. You know, and she turns around, and the babies are in the stainless steel pan on the counter away from her. And but she's alone, and she just sees nothing, so she goes back to what she was doing, and she hears the sound again. So she turns back around. Still, there's no one there. And the third time she heard it, she knew where it was coming from, and she began to walk toward that stainless steel pan, and as she approached it, one of the babies laid its hand upon the rim of the pan. And she looked in, and sure enough, both babies had survived that saline abortion. And she began to scream. Well, the staff came running in, and the abortionists did. And they were like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And she said, they're alive. Call 911. Get an ambulance. We can save them. Da-da-da-da-da. And the abortionist said, is that all? And he took the pan, put it under the sink, turned the faucet on, and drowned both babies right in front of her eyes. She walked out and never worked in an abortion clinic again. And you could see the pain and the horror on this lady. I mean, it still wrenched her to even speak of it, you know. And of course, it did this. I think it did the same thing to me hearing her tell it as it did to her when it happened. I mean, I just felt so much pain and so much remorse, and you know, and I'm a law enforcement officer, and I wanted to save these babies because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to protect people, and you know, there was nothing I could do for either one of them. And you know, I left and didn't get far, and I cried out to God, and you know, we had a long talk. I mean, I talked with him for a long time about this problem, and I finally promised him that I would do something, you know, for this, to for life, to save a baby. And that's how the books were born, I wrote them, and that's, they were intended to bring light to the abortion world in an entertaining way. And it's called The Unborn Guardian and The Unborn Sacrifice. And these books can be purchased from Amazon. And as far as the movie goes, I am waiting to hear from a production company right now, and I'm hoping within the next, I don't know, a few weeks that I'll have a conclusive answer as to whether they're interested in actually bringing it to the theater.
Well, I don't, you know, I think, you know, they better get on and jump on this bandwagon, because I think, you know, seeing everything that we're seeing today, I know I saw something just about a couple of weeks ago with a friend that it was, you know, it was, it's fast-paced, it's action, it does make you see things that you normally don't think about. But I think, you know, this would fit right in. You know, we're seeing that, you know, our minds are being, I think, forced to think beyond what we're seeing, and that's exactly what you're going to do. So it's really right in line, and really better than most of these other movies. Yours is, you know, yours has really a true meaning to it, while the others, they're just hitting and miss, you know, just trying to find something, I know, to raise interest, but yours will actually do that. And it's, you know, and it's going to be very real to a lot of people, I think. So it's going to be a very powerful. I think, you know, once it gets there, it's going to be, I think, moving a lot of people across the country. You know, truth tend to do that. Truth will set a people free. And so I'm so grateful that you're doing it. But if you don't mind, tell them the titles and where they can get it.
The Unborn Guardian, first one. The Unborn Sacrifice, second one. And the best place I've found to buy it is through Amazon. So it's, matter of fact, they had the Amazon Guardian, I think, was even available on Kindle. And I'm not sure about Sacrifice, whether it was available on Kindle or not, but it was still in paperback.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is great. It's timely. And, Don, you know, it's just like the enemy to really know that we're, you know how it is. The closer you get, it's like being in high school or being in college. You know, the closer you are to the end, right, the harder it was to focus and stay on track. And I think, you know, we're there. You know, it's hard for a lot of people to focus because the enemy has got all sorts of distractions. You know, I was watching TV one day, and I'm thinking, you know, I really wanted to watch politics, but I was also tired of politics, so I just was looking at what's available, and I'm thinking, no wonder nobody watches politics. You know, there's so much entertaining stuff there that I really... You know, you've got reality TV for anything, from things that are good to things that are bad. There were more things bad than good. But, yeah, if you want to be entertained and not really know what's going on, you know, like some of the pastors that we know, you know, if you don't know about it, then you won't feel so guilty, I think is what some of them, you know. I've heard, you know, it's almost like they don't want to know. And I'm thinking to myself, I hate to hear that when it comes from a man of God, because we know the power of God. They know the power of God. They know the power they have to move, to move a cause. You know, it's why somebody comes there just about every Sunday. You know, if you want to help, if he wants to help you, come, you know, talk to our congregation. But yet when it comes to the topic of abortion, Don, that's not something that the church has had embraced with open arms until maybe lately. Are you seeing?
Well,
you hearing more?
I'm still not seeing a great outpouring from the church, and we should. Like, you know, the one thing I can say about the Catholic Church is they do care about the unborn, and that is a focus. It is a Holocaust. They recognize it as a Holocaust. They don't candy coat it, but at the same time, they're not sitting there trying to beat a woman that's had an abortion over the head with hell, you know. they most likely, if they're sitting there, they just need to come to the understanding that abortion is not just stopping a pregnancy. It is a murder. And I know and have talked to women that have had multiple abortions that, you know, they want to be ministered to. They sit in a church and they sit in a hell, their own little prison, and they're not hearing it from their pastor how about God's forgiveness about abortion. And, you know, in January 1973 is the beginning of legal abortion, though it had been around for 40 years prior to that because Margaret Sanger had instituted it already with Planned Parenthood and began the first Planned Parenthood to slaughter through eugenics the black and Hispanic races or any race that was inferior. So you have the beginning of it, and then you have the legalizing of it, and, you know, people think that, well, if something's legal, then it must be okay, you know. But that's not necessarily true where God is concerned, because you could legalize anything, you know. But he said that the shedding of innocent blood is murder. It's an abomination, as well as homosexuality. So you have several things there that God has already labeled as an abomination. So why do you think he would change his mind? The New Testament is clear that he has not changed his mind. He didn't come to change the law. He came to fulfill it. And that's what we all need to do in terms of where women are concerned that have had abortion is, okay, be ministered to. And that's where the pastors are missing that. And I know women that don't go to church right now because they never could get that message from the pulpit, hey, God still loves you, you know. And, yeah, he knows what you did. But you know what? When you ask for forgiveness, you got it, you know. And I guarantee you, none of the women that have recognized abortion as murder will ever return to it again, you know. Even though they'll never see a prison sentence, they'll never know any kind of punishment like that for the act, they know in their heart what happened. But they also have some resolve in their heart that, you know, their baby is in heaven. I mean, there's no other place for him to go. So, you know, and they have Christ's forgiveness. And I'm certainly not sitting here with a brick or a stone ready to stone them for what they did. But, you know, at the same time, the ones that still stand in your face going, it's my body. No, it's not. The abortion is going to happen to the baby. You know, if it was happening to you, we'd call it suicide because you chose this. But you're choosing it for someone else. Even though it's your child, you're choosing it for someone else. So
it's very troubling.
People, yeah, it's those people that have to learn the truth, you know, and the ones that have already had abortions that do not believe in it anymore that need that healing. And that's where someone, you know, that has learned about it, like myself, or the pastors of these churches. I mean, it's not on my shoulders, though I'm glad to come talk with anybody. It belongs to the pastors of every church to reach out with love toward these women and these men. And because some of these, so even some grandparents are responsible for having their daughter not be embarrassed and go have an abortion because they thought it was just, you know, a glob of flesh. You know, no, it's not. It's a baby. A 10-week baby looks like a 40-week baby. It's just 2 inches long, you know. So
that's why it's so important to be so, you know, to be in the hand of God, because we are really, you know, if it was not for the Holy Spirit, there is no telling what we would do. But it's really a fine line, isn't it, Don, between, you know, I've heard, you know, just like I think with poison, you know, it's a fine line between a cure and a poison. I've heard of, you know, things before that were used as poison to kill something, but, you know, at very minute doses can be a cure, you know, but
Who would have thought? You know, it's so close. And same thing with sanity and insanity. You know, it's so close. And I think it's so easy to be a sinner and to stay being a sinner. It's really nothing but the love of God. Because I think once you accept the Lord as your Savior, He literally saves you every day, and probably many moments in a day that you didn't even see and will never realize until, you know, you're on the other side. And so it's a fine line. But at the same time, you know, you see the power. Even though it is a fine line, then you see the power of the hand of God that stays, you know, what could happen and says, don't go that way. Don't go to that abortion clinic. You know, this is alive. You know, this is your child. You can make it. You know, it is the ability to hear and listen to God. And that's what I'm just so amazed at what God has been, you know, letting me see about why it's important to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Because, Don, it takes that, doesn't it? It takes loving Him with everything to survive and not do the wrong things. Because I think our natural inclination, and we see that, you know, you see that, you know, you've got people that's went to jail because supposedly they killed somebody. Well, they don't kill somebody just with a gun all the time. It happens with their own bare hands. So, you know, how can you take the hand of somebody? Are you now going to cut off everybody's hand? You know, the world thinks we can stop the killing just by taking away these things. But the problem is in man. We have that ability. It's within us. So I love God's word. And when He says to love Him, and that's the first commandment, it's not to be a killjoy. The older I get, the more I realize it's so that I can have joy. Because, you know, as you've shared with us, Don, once you kill that child, you're changed. Right. You know, if you do not ask God for repentance, you've told me about many that's still suffering to this day, remembering. You know, and Sandra Cano has shared the same things with us. So, you know, it's not over like we think it's over unless God puts His hand over you and lets that pain diminish. I thank God for His word that says, you know, He has to be number one. It's that way for our sake more than anything, Don. It's really, isn't that amazing? You know, we think that God is a selfish God, that, you know, it's that reason is so that we would serve Him, kind of like robots. But the older I get, the more I realize it's there because He wants to protect us.
That's right. You know, He allows us to look at things the way He looks at them. And if we look at them the way He looks at them, we wouldn't do 90% of what we do. But, you know, because we let our own thought process come in and the way man would look at it, and that's where we mess up. But I know we've talked about so much here, but I've got to share this just for a second, and I'll be really quick with it. My niece called
me. Oh, no,
you
go ahead.
My niece called me not long ago and said that she had a friend who was about to have an abortion, and she already had some kids. Well, she explained to me that, you know, she just said that she couldn't afford it, and, you know, and she was going to, you know, go ahead and terminate the pregnancy. Okay, and I sent her a link and told her to send it to her and let her read what an abortion really is and let her see the pictures, and she did. And I got a text back from her a few days later, and she was practically shouting in the text and praising God because the girl had decided that abortion was not going to happen this time. She was going to give birth to that baby. And, you know, it was just how God interceded, and that baby was saved. And, you know, for a lot of women, that's the way it is. If if they're known, if they know and they're educated, you know, on what abortion truly is, and let them see it, you know, and let them see the condition of their baby that is in now, then nine times out of ten, they're going to choose life. They're not going to kill that baby. You know, they don't want that blood on their hands because it's just flat-out murder.
When they see the truth, Don, and that's what we're about, and I thank God that you're sharing the truth, and I'm praying, Lord, help, you know, that movie come out, because, you know, just as when you spoke that truth, you know, there's one, and I know you've spoken many times because I've heard you say, you know, you're talking with somebody about it tonight, or, you know, and so we're so grateful, but, you know, there is a hurting world out there, and there's a world of women that needs to hear the truth. God is life, and the life that they've been given is precious, and we really we need to change the conversation, because I think, you know, everybody's hurting. And I think there's a lot of people, Donald, like never before, that is really asking, where can I get my help? And, you know, we're seeing this with Common Core also, you know, and this is, I thank God that you don't mind me posting. I know you're, you know, pro-life, you know, a lot of pro-life stuff on your page. But I thank God that you let me post the Common Core, because I think you as a father get it. It's, we're pro children. You know, that's really the anti-abortion and pro-life people. We're all really pro-child. So I've not had anybody fuss at me about posting my Common Core stuff, you know, on y'all's pages, because you know y'all get it. We all get it. You know, it's about protecting the children, and it's sad. I think even. Somebody had a little, oh, yes, Alice Linehan from Texas had a picture of a, you know, a pregnant woman, you know, with a baby, and you could see how far along she was, and then a child, you know, and it's, she had a saying, something about protecting them in the womb and out of the womb. You know, she's a pro-life advocate and also a anti-Common Core. So she's fighting for that child, because what we're seeing is kind of like what Hitler did, you know, with that really it's mass propaganda, mass psychology. We have a video that I've got to send to you. I don't know if I've already sent it to you, but it's where there's a child psychologist who studies Common Core, and she, you know, she pretty much breaks it down. And what you get out of it is, you know, this Common Core standards is not pro-children. It's not done with the children in mind. As a matter of fact, you know, it confuses the child, it stresses the child, and it's funny, you know, I think of God and time. She says on one of the things, you know, if they just waited until that child was a little older, then you wouldn't have had that confusion, you know, because that child would have developed. So they were not even thinking of the stages of a child's mind, you know, when something should be given to them and when should it not. So it's not pro-child. So with that in mind, we're hoping, Donald, that we can go and wake up the parents, wake them up at the school board meeting. So if you've got school board meeting that you know of that we can come to, let us know, or maybe you can come with us and do it. But we're trying to get everybody to really know Common Core, because I think, you know, it becomes pretty personal, because you'll see the child struggling. Sooner or later, you will see your child struggling with it. And then when you start imagining, you know, it's not just my child. It's millions. Millions and millions. And it's so sad, because it's like stealing the joy from these children. Who would dare to steal the joy from these children?
That's right.
They're evil. They are just evil. And I hate to say it, but Planned Parenthood, we don't mind calling them evil, because really what they are. But let me go ahead and read this on the National Sexuality Education Standards, which there's a standard set now for each grade level from K through 12. And I may have showed you a picture, Don, of book called It's Perfectly Normal and You for 10-year-olds that really tells the children how to have sex. Has the pictures and everything. But here's something from Planned Parenthood. It says, parents and guardians are their children's primary sexuality educators, but often feel they need support, according to Planned Parenthood's website. It says the nature of our education system in America puts schools in the ideal position to take the lead in this process. Somebody named Zabel compares Planned Parenthood's role to that of math teachers. We're the experts on the medical aspects of this. We don't ask parents to teach their kids geometry or algebra. We let the experts teach that. How about that, Don?
Well, you know, when we let the experts that have no morals teach our kids, we're in trouble. That's the whole issue.
And in trouble we are, and our children are paying the price. I mean, there's one video of a kindergarten student, Donald. He is bobbing his head back and forth. He started off loving school, you know, because kindergartners do. They love, they're excited, they want to go to school. But pretty soon, you know, the mother was videotaping. That child's bobbing his head back and forth. Too much work, something like that, over and over again. I think a dozen times. And this is what's going on. They are teaching kids things that are not appropriate for their age group. And as you were just saying, that's really not morally appropriate either. You know, we're on dangerous grounds now when Planned Parenthood has the inroad to teach our children. So with that in mind, I guess all we can do right now is hopefully educate more parents, Donald, and give it to God in prayer. So with that in mind, I'm going to post this in prayer, Don. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that nothing is hard for you. Lord, we pray that the listeners would see that you are a loving God. That, Lord, when you said for us to love you, it's because, Lord, you want us to be protected, because your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And, Lord, the children suffer in the womb and out of the womb. And, Lord, your word in Hosea 4:1, that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject their children. Lord, we're trying to learn. Please forgive us, Lord. Help us and do not reject our children, Lord. Help us to share the truth, Lord, and let it make a difference, Lord, to all the parents. Let them study the truth, Lord, and find it for themselves so that, Lord, they can also defend their loved ones, because, Lord, we need one another to fight this enemy, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are almighty and nothing is hard for you. And I pray for blessing upon Don, Lord, and the unborn series, Lord, and we pray for that producer that's studying that, Lord, that they will jump on this, Lord, and make a great movie. It will be an excellent series of movies, powerful, Lord, and timely. I just ask for blessings upon Don and his family. Now, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that he always gives us, Lord, to speak, and, Lord, for him to make us remember, Lord, how important it is, Lord, to fight for life, Lord, to fight for these children in the womb and also out of the womb. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that your mighty hand be upon those that are lost, Lord, in need of your amazing saving grace, that they would come to know that your love is for them too, for that mother, Lord, that decided to have that abortion, or that father that prodded that mother, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with them, Lord, that they'll see the truth, that, Lord, that you are a forgiving God.
and that, Lord, that you are more than willing to hear their plea. So, Lord, I pray that they would just humble themselves and ask you for mercy and grace and help to get them through, Lord, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, for others that are lost that do not know you, whatever their circumstances, Lord, whether they be just, adulterers or fornicators or homosexuals or, Lord, whatever, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will realize, as Don has said, Lord, the time that we live in, the things that your word has said will happen, Lord, they're just unfolding before our eyes. And how good of you, Lord, to give us signs. You, who are creator of the universe, could have just snuffed us out. You owe no man anything. Yet out of your great mercy and love, you're giving us signs, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that listeners would heed the signs and prepare themselves, their families, their friends, Lord, to find you, to find the way, Lord, because there is eternity. And Lord, we pray that they'll want to spend eternity in heaven with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Don, do you have some last closing words? We went over our time, but, you know, it's just I think there's just so much, Don, and as you have reminded us, you know, we really don't have much time.
No, we don't. And I think that's the biggest thing that we need to be, you know, sounding out right now is just like the watchman on the tower. You can sound the alarm, and maybe, you know, people that are just outside will come on in, and people that aren't going to make the first, the rapture. Just to put it in a nutshell, not going to make the beginning of the rapture and be taken away from all of this hell that's about to go berserk on the earth, then you're going to be subjected to Islam, to Sharia law, the way that they interpret it. And I see just government and communism, you know, gelling and Sharia law becoming the law of the world. So it's going to be an ugly time, and it's going to be harder than ever to be able to resist not being beheaded just because you won't, you know, take this mark. You're going to be beheaded and lose your life, and that's a hideous thought to some people, and people are going to fold to that, trying to put off something that they think that is maybe will be better, but there's no saving grace once you take the mark. You're done. And I look for that to be a part of what Bill Gates and the others are doing with, you know, Microsoft and the computers and being able to track people globally. And, you know, it's just all too neat and perfect. It's unreal.
It's funny how they say the things that are like part of the conspiracy theory, you know, they're really, I mean, we're seeing it come to light when we see, the, you know, what the NSA has done and what they're capable of doing, you know. So really, folks, you know, this is it. Don't get left behind. That's our word for you. And Don, you know, I thank God that, you know, he gives us peace. I mean, I know where I'm going. Isn't it such a blessed thing to have that blessed assurance? You know, some people don't think that, you know, they know. But I know where I'm going. But then knowing that I know where I'm going also breaks my heart that there's not all the people I know is going to go there either. So, you know, how merciful of God to keep waiting for them. But then, you know, he's not going to be late for when that time, you know, comes when enough is enough. The end is here. So, folks, you've got a little bit of time. You need to start today. Make use of it wisely. Well, God bless you. Thanks, Don, as always. We look forward to next month. And next month. I hope you have great, fantastic news. I'm always praying for that every night.
Amen.
Thanks,
Don.
Talk to you later and hope to see you. Okay, bye.
Sounds great.
Bye, listeners. God bless you. Yes, God is great. Goodbye, folks.